You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Wednesday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20pm with Darren Owen, John Babb and Craig Forsyth in the studio. We've got a nice mix on Wednesday. We've got racing on the turf at Nottingham, National Hunt action from Ludlow and Toaster, and an evening of all-weather racing on the poly track at Kempton. Right now we're going to look ahead to it. My name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
Yes, good, thanks, Mark. And you?
Yeah, very good, thank you.
Good.
We'll start with a quick look back at the headline horse of the weekend, Golden Horn, who won the Arc. And there was talk of him going to the Breeders' Cup for the Breeders' Cup turf. It looks like that's a strong possibility now.
Yeah, it looks likely, Mark. The reports that we read in the paper this morning is that the horse has come back from France in A1 condition. It's all systems go. I think we've got to give a lot of praise to the owner. He's a very, very sporting owner. You know, he paid a huge fees to supplement this horse for the Derby and the Arc. He's obviously very keen, you know, to see his horse on the track as much as possible before he retires off the stud. I think a blessing in disguise for him was missing the King George, Mark. I really do.
Yeah.
You know, you look at the horses that have performed since that that race.
It's just emptied them, hasn't it?
It has. You know, it was a brutal race and real testing conditions. And I know Postbone's gone on to subsequently win since then, but the horses that weren't too far behind, the likes of Eagle Top and Romsdale, they haven't lifted their legs since that run. So it was maybe a blessing that he missed the King George after the his Eclipse victory, but just been a fabulous horse and a fabulous training performance by John Gosden, because I thought he was gone for the year after York. I really did. And to bring him back to win the Irish Champion Stakes and the way he went about it in the Arc, it was fabulous to watch, Mark. It really was.
It was.
And I hope he does say, I really do hope he does sign off with a win in the Breeders' Cup turf.
Yeah.
It'll be just cap a fantastic season.
He's so hardy. He's taken his racing so well. A lot of racing as well in the real top class races. So you'd say it's a hard season, and he's still come out with flying colours. And as you mentioned there with the owner and John Gosden, a lot of owners, when they know they've got a real stallion value, they would protect the horse and shy away from the challenges. Where it's been the opposite way with Golden Horn, hasn't it? They've really gone for it, which is, it's nice to see.
Yeah, indeed, and we've seen that happen a few times this season. That horses that, you know, haven't ran because of the ground, and basically it's because, you know, owners wanting to protect the value at stud, but not with this horse and not with these owners. Fantastic to see the horse race as much as he has this year, and you know, he pulled hard at York in the Gidmonti for the first time, Mark.
Yeah.
But he settled beautifully when he went across to Leopardstown, and he looked, you know, superb again. But he did take a little bit of a keen hold during the Arc, and I feared the worst, I'll be honest, at the halfway stage. But the way he seen his race out on Sunday was truly fantastic. It was a brilliant sight, and he's been a tremendous horse, and you know, he's got a great partner in Frankie Dettori that seems to get on very, very well with him.
Yeah, 4-6 with a run for the Breeders' Cup turf.
Yeah, he obviously will get the weight for age again in that race, and you know, you look at the other horses quoted in the market, and you would have to think that, you know, he's got the beating of them. It doesn't look to be a serious American challenge, and you know, providing he's in A1 condition, he's the horse they all have to beat.
Yeah, a potential rematch with Flincher there as well.
Yeah,
if that happens.
But the distance and the ease of victory at the weekend.
You wouldn't fancy it to be reversed, would you?
No, definitely not. I think it's all about Golden Horn, really, and how he comes along over the next 2 to 3 weeks. And if he's in A1 shape still and come the end of this month, then he's going to take an awful lot of beating.
Yes, so that was last weekend. I just want to take a cursory glance towards the upcoming weekend as well. Very good day to look forward to at Newmarket on Saturday. Good couple of days, in fact. But the Saturday, we have the Dewhurst, and we have some potential superstars of the future. Emotionless, who's unbeaten 2 from 2. Even money favourite ahead of Air Force Blue, who's 13-8. It's then 10-1 for Burrettino and Tash Week. Massart is 14s and 20-1, or bigger prices for the others. It's been billed as a match between Emotionless and Air Force Blue, and it's one that I'm really looking forward to, Craig.
Yeah, I think, you know, Massart, you mentioned there, Mark, is a big price. You know, he's... was very, very impressive when he won his maiden at Leicester. Big step up in this kind of company. But he's another one you wouldn't want to discount. But Emotionless has looked so exciting. He never came off the bridle at Doncaster last time when he won that Group 2. He'd done it all so easy. Mm. He travelled particularly well in the contest. Just looking at that race back, you wouldn't want the ground to be heavy.
No.
You know, I know we've got a mixed forecast over the next few days leading into the weekend, Mark. I think he'll handle some cut in the ground, no problem, the way he moves. But he wouldn't want extreme soft ground. So, you know, he is even money, and I don't think you're shorting an awful lot. I would rather wait and just see what happens, the weather and the ground leading into the weekend.
As it stands at the moment, just say we've got good enough ground,
yeah,
not heavy. Would you lean towards him then?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. I mean, Air Force Blue's been very, very good. His only defeat came in the Coventry Stakes at Ascot, and he was impressive last time again. The Cora beating Herald of Dawn. You know, he's another one that wouldn't want the ground to be too soft.
Yeah.
So, I think Emotionless, although, you know, hasn't achieved as much as Air Force Blue, but bearing in mind he's only had half the runs.
Yeah.
So he's got plenty of time on his side. He's a real exciting prospect, and you know, if he was to go and win the Dewhurst at the weekend, you would imagine he would shorten for some of next year's classics.
Yeah, be the winter favourite, wouldn't he?
He could well be the one to beat.
Mm. Let's talk about the Cesarewitch as well, the big betting race on the day. Low Key is 6-1 market leader at the time of recording this. Quick Jack 8-1, 10-1 for Heartbreak City, 14s for William of Orange, 16-1 for Amor de Nuit, Monte Feltro, Nearly Caught and Renetti. Steve Rogers another at 16s and 20s or bigger for the others. I know the it's pretty hard to nail a selection at the moment, Craig, but I just wanted to get your thoughts on Quick Jack, because just reading today that they've booked Ryan Moore to ride. Ryan Moore riding for Tony Martin on a proven performer in this kind of race. It looks good, doesn't it?
Yeah, and he proved his stamina for this trip in the race 12 months ago, Mark, when he finished third. He's £7 higher this time around, but, you know, there's every reason to believe that he's improved again over the last 12 months. So he'll go there with a big chance, and there's nobody better than Ryan Moore to try and get the best out of Quick Jack. Yeah, he goes there with a big chance.
Mm.
I mean, it's early days in terms of betting in this race, because, you know, despite the marathon trip,
The draw's still important, isn't it?
The draw has been important over previous years. I mean, low draws have held somewhat of an advantage in recent times. I think we'll go back to, if I get to the bottom of this Mark, seems to be 100, never can tell, in 2011, I think he overcame a high draw for Jamie Osborne. He was drawn in stall 35 or 36. But you look back at other recent winners and, 12 down seems to have been a big advantage.
Yeah, you'd see the marathon trip and you'd usually just think the draw won't matter. But it does for this.
It does, as in many races. You know, the Northumberland Plate's another example. Where the bend comes up and you know. So, it's very, very important, despite the distance that the race over, that, you know, to have a close look at the draw.
Yeah. Anything else, Craig, or should we move on?
I think we've covered it, Mark. I was just blown away, really, by Golden Horn's arc performance. And, you know, deservedly, we spent a bit of time talking about his exploits at the weekend, because he's been remarkable.
Yeah, hopefully we get to see him one last time and see him go out on a high. That'd be fantastic. But let's move on to Wednesday's racing. We've got four races picked out. Craig's going to look at some of the action on the turf, some of the action over jumps, and some on the all-weather. Something for everybody to look forward to on Wednesday. And we'll get his thoughts on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
We start at Nottingham in their 2:30. This one is a Class 4 nursery. It's over 5 furlongs, and therefore it's for the two-year-olds being a nursery. It's 14 of them in the lineup here, Craig. It's going to be quite an open race as well. So how do you figure this one out for us?
Yeah, we've got a few last-time out winners coming here, Mark, the likes of Dan Zeb and Harmonic Wave. But they won fairly weak affairs in the north at Musselburgh Hamilton. But more importantly, I think the ground will ride on the soft side at Nottingham on Wednesday. And these are two horses that have very fast, speedy, low actions. So, you know, if the ground does turn really soft, then I have to think that these two recent winners would be up against it. My shortlist at this stage would be Spike for David Barron, who I thought won very well at Pontefract. He got to the front and he dominated that race from some way out. Shine Like a Diamond did close to get within a neck at the finish, but I think Spike was value for a little bit more. I think, you know, if required, he would have certainly found a little bit extra in the closing stages of that race. And the way he moves, I wouldn't be too worried about any cut in the ground for Spike. And because he comes here on Better Heart, I think he just gets the edge here over Curtain Call, who won her maiden at this track over 5 furlongs. And is disappointed a little bit at Leicester on her next 2 starts. I mean, looking back at that recent run just over 2 weeks ago, it was a disappointing effort. But, you know, the maiden form suggests 74 is a really workable mark. And Jack Garry takes 3 off from a handicapping point of view. I think she's well handicapped, but because Spike comes here with a win under his belt and looks, again, you know, not too badly treated first time in a handicap company of 77, I think I'm going to make him the selection in the nursery.
Spike the selection in the nursery then for Craig. Moving to Ludlow for a bit of jumping. We'll look at the 3.15 here, and this is a Class 3 handicap chase of a 3 and 1.5 furlongs. We've got a field of 11 to go to post here, Craig. We'll start with Dreams of Theatre, who has returned from a break in pretty good heart. He's won at Bangor and Cartmel in August. Can he get up the hat-trick here?
Yeah, you know, he isn't badly treated, Mark. He's only a pound higher after winning that Class 2 handicap at Cartmel. He defied a £10 rise, basically, you know, despite the way the weights was at Cartmel last time. It was basically a £10 rise in the handicap. And, you know, for Marco 1-2-8, you've got to respect his chances. I mean, I do think this is a good race, and he hasn't passed over lightly, but there's at least one other that I would be hopeful that they can get the better of this in-form horse from John Joe Neal's yard.
Yeah, do tell them, Craig, which one is it?
Well, All the King's Horses, Mark, I think will improve a lot for his comeback run at Warwick. That was his first start since April. You know, he doesn't have a lot in hand from the handicapper from his current mark of 1.27. But what he does is he stays very well. You know, and 3 miles to, at the moment, they're saying the ground is good to firm. They've already had a fair bit of rain this morning. There's more forecast. You know, this could turn into more of a stamina test than it currently looks at the moment on quick ground. And All the King's Horses, what he does is he stays very well, he jumps well, and I think that could go a long way for him getting success over this staying trip on Wednesday. Because the other horse, Azure Fly, who goes very well fresh, he's won twice on his two recent comebacks after a summer break. Yeah, this trip may just stretch him on his return to action. Despite looking well treated on 1.29. And I would rather go with a guaranteed stayer here. Horse proven over this trip, and that's All the King's Horses for me.
All the King's Horses to outstay his rivals then at Ludlow, and back to Nottingham for their 4.45. This one is a Class 4 handicap over 1.25. It's for 3-year-olds and older. A field of 14 here, Craig. You've got the likes of Entity, Lahayeb, and First Sitting, who arrive here in winning form. Any of them on the shortlist?
Yeah, you've got to consider all three of those, really, Mark. What I can tell you is First Sitting, that one off a mark of 84, has actually gone up £11 this morning in the handicap. So he's officially rated 95 now, and he runs here off a £6 penalty. So he's theoretically £5 well in, in the race. But the draw has done him no favour. Stall 14. I mean, on softer ground, the may sweep into the straight away from the rail and come more towards the middle of the track, which may help First Sitting. But the fact that he's quite a prominent runner, you know, I would think they'll try and make plenty use of him early. And from 14, that might be difficult, Mark. That might be difficult. Other last time up winners that you mentioned, Entity for Sir Michael Stout, he got, or she got to the front really early in that Pontefract race and poured it on from the home turn. Never looked like getting caught from a long way out, but the handicap has had his say. He's raised this filly £9, and the soft ground would be the concern here. Definitely would be the concern. The horse I'm going to I'm going to go with is a horse that I've had on my mind all year. He's going to pop up in one of these races, and that's Green Light. You know, I think the soft ground will be very much in his favour. He can take a little bit of a keen hold in the early part of his races, but in a big field, he should get plenty cover here. There's no excuses. He's been dropped 2 pounds since that run in the Curragh. He's well handicapped off 83. He won at Nottingham in soft ground in the spring on his first start. He's well capable of this mark. He'd make a smashing hurdler in time, this lad, but for the purposes of this race anyway, Mark, let's hope he can get his head back in front. So I like Green Light, and I think he's probably the best bet of the four selections in this podcast.
Okay, best bet of the selections then for Craig. This is easier than what he's been taking on lately as well, isn't it, for Green Light? He's been in higher company than this, and last time he was in class four company was at Nottingham and he won.
Yeah, you know, it's a huge drop. You know, but, you know, he's probably taken on class two horses with the likes of Fursen because he gets in here because of the penalty structure. You know, so he is taking on, you know, decent horses here, but it is a slight drop overall in grade. And providing, and hopefully he settles in the early part, I think he'll run a big race.
All right. Bit of all-weather action to finish then. The 7.55 at Kempton is a Class 4 handicap over a mile and 3 furlongs. It's for three-year-olds and older, and it's part of the London Middle Distance Series qualifiers. Nice, healthy field, as you would expect, 12 runners here. Craig, who do you like in the last race we look at?
Yeah, there's a couple here, Mark. Ainsley's very, very interesting because he was a very impressive winner at Hamilton. He came from a long way back on that occasion to get the better of Mark Johnson's runner. And he sustained his effort from a long way out. It was impressive. He's, you know, he's had two previous runs at Kempton, which, you know, weren't fantastic performances, but they were the first two runs in his career, and he's clearly improved since then. You know, he still remains well handicapped on 77. Sylvester D'Souza is once again taking the ride after, you know, he steered this horse to success at Hamilton and Leicester. You know, the only jockey to win on Ainsley is SDS. And providing he can reproduce his recent turf exploits on the poly track, he's going to be very difficult to beat. I think the Godolphin horse, Sky Cape, looks the biggest danger. Possibly went for home a little bit too soon at Wolverhampton last time when getting caught in the closing stages. He's able to race off the same mark. And if ridden with a little more restraint in this race, then he's going to definitely be the biggest danger here to Ainsley.
Yeah, I think it is a little bit interesting with a Godolphin horse that he steps up in trip for the first time here. It might just suit him a little bit better.
Yeah, his pedigree suggests that he'll have no issues stepping up to this mile three for the first time, Mark. You know, but if they use him up as early as they did at Wolverhampton, then it could become an issue. You know, I think that William Buick needs to hold on to him for a stride or two longer before he goes for home. And yeah, I think he's a big danger, but, you know, Ainsley comes here in top form. The way he won suggested that there's more to come from him off a £7 higher mark. It's just a case of whether he can transfer that level of form onto a different surface.
Mm. All right, then. As usual, Craig, let's just have a little bit of a summary before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections for Wednesday one more time.
Yeah, we're going to start off in the nursery at 2:30 with David Barron's Spike. Moving to Ludlow for the 3:15 All the King's Horses. In the 4:45 at Nottingham, and we're making this horse the nap, the best bet of the day, Green Light. And finally, in the 7:55 at Kempton, Ainsley.
Good work. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck and enjoy it on Wednesday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Wednesday's racing. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1:20 p.m. with Darren Owen, John Barb and Craig Forsyth in the studio. It's Nottingham, Ludlow and Toaster on Wednesday afternoon and all-weather action in the evening from Kempton Park. So do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast and enjoy Wednesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.